but you actually help the world around you hear from God. And the other one is God's Secrets, a life filled with words of knowledge. And that one has already been requested. But the other two books will be up at the library and available at the end of the service.
Praise God. Well, I want to do two messages for you about how to hear God's... Thank you. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, eh? Well, bless your heart, Lord. How many of you would agree it would be really good to be able to hear from God? You do, Beverly. You think that would be a good idea to hear from God? Okay, well then I shall preach this message to you, my love, and everyone else can just, I don't know. Praise God. So, Father, thank you. It is such a privilege to hear your voice. You said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. You said it, I believe it, that settles it. You said, we hear your voice. So enlighten our eyes this morning, open our ears so that we can gain an understanding of how much you love us and how much you want to have communication with us, your children. Everyone said, amen. I've got kids, I don't know about you, but sometimes they talk to me and sometimes they don't. You know, they grow up and sometimes they get a bit distant, and my heart aches to hear from my kids. I go to my phone every day and, you know, it's like send them a text and I don't get anything back. You know, God's a father. His heart aches to communicate with his children. But we have these ideas about what it means to talk. You know, I'll bring this teaching next week about what words are. Words actually encapsulate thoughts. There has to be a thought before there can be a word. And so sometimes we denigrate or we devalue the thoughts that we have in our head. We think it's just us thinking. But you know, we have the mind of Christ. And sometimes those thoughts can be God talking to us, because that is the essence of communication. It's thought. But God is a spirit, and he doesn't often speak like audibly in our environment. He communicates to us as a spirit. And so we're spiritual beings, and so it's quite common that he's speaking to us in our mind, in our hearts. You know, we're sort of hearing him inside. But because it's not through these things, we think, oh, well, that can't be God. But honestly, most of the times, I don't think I've ever heard God audibly, like in here. I've heard a voice inside where the thought was so strong, it was like a voice. But usually it's just a thought. You know, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. So half the stuff you're thinking could be God talking to you. I think it's amazing in that testimony that it was a Muslim guy. He wasn't a Christian. But Sean Bolt said to him, let's ask God what he thinks of you. And this Muslim had this thought that he was good. And he never thought that he was good. So he thought, well, that was unusual. Now, if God can get into the mind of a Muslim and talk to him, surely he can talk to you. You're his sheep. You know, sheep aren't that smart. They're pretty dumb, really. You don't have to be clever to get a handle on this. Can I say it again? You don't have to be super spiritual. You don't have to be really clever or smart to hear from God. Sheep are dumb. And God said, my sheep, even those who are dumb, hear my voice. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands. But how many of us have written ourselves off and said, I'm not spiritual enough to hear from God. God never talks to me. I wonder. All right. So So I want to break a few pieces of my life off for you this morning and give you some times when I've heard from God. The Word made flesh. Sometimes we get messages, we hear doctrine, and it's all good, but I really appreciate it when ministers, preachers, teachers, whoever, break a piece of their life off for me because I can see the Word at work. That really helps me. My darling wife, are there no children this morning? Are you with us? Oh, I've got to behave myself now. I thought I was going to get away with saying whatever I wanted. Now I've got my own sermon in the car on the way home. Okay, well, going where angels fear to tread, my wife thinks that some people are tired of hearing my stories, but I don't think that's true at all. I think people love my stories, don't you? You love my stories, even if you've heard them 10 times already.
We love you sharing your reality with us.
Okay, that's good. But not everybody's heard my stories. There's always somebody new in church, so that gives me permission to tell my story. You haven't heard any of my stories. See, it says brand new, all right, for Susie. So if you find my stories boring, well, I'm just going to keep telling them anyway until you get ones that are at least as good as mine, all right? Maybe that's, okay, that's point number one. I'll get that in the ear on the way home. I shouldn't have said that. Father, give me grace. I've got my wife listening to my message this morning. No, you're not. You're the best. I keep telling her, man, you need to build your wives up. I tell her, honey, you are the best thing that happened to me. You are the best thing that happened to me. Short of being saved, getting saved was the best thing, but other than that, my wife is the best thing that happened to me. So I understand where she's coming from. Yeah, I need some new stories, but some of them are just so good because they perfectly illustrate what I want to say. So, Father, I need some more stories. Okay, let's move on. Henry Ford admitted that he actually wasn't that smart, but smart enough to surround himself with people who were. Sometimes I think as we struggle through life that we have to have it all together in order to succeed. We don't. We just need to have a firm grip on the one who does. And God, who knows everything about everything and everyone that ever existed or ever will, he can be on your team. Wow. Imagine the winning advantage of having someone on your team who knows everything about everything and everyone and willing to share that information with you. You don't need to know. You've got someone on the team who knows. A reporter was talking to Henry Ford and asked him something about his company, and he said, I don't know how that works. And the reporter says, what? You're the CEO. You don't even know your own company. And he called over one of his executives and said, ask him. So the reporter asked his executive, and the executive told him exactly what he needed to know. And he says, yeah, I don't need to know. I pay him to know. Cool, eh? We don't need to know how to do everything. We don't have to have our act together. We've got God. He's got his act together. And as long as we have a firm grip on him, we're okay. Hallelujah. I like that. What would it be like to have a relationship with someone like God who knew everything, understood how everything worked, knew how to fix every problem, knew how to remedy every fault in your life and heal every relationship? Wow. What would it be like to have a relationship with someone like that but never ask them for help? What would it be like to have a relationship with someone like that and ask them for help but never stick around long enough to hear what they had to say? It's called waiting on God in prayer. So, I thought I'd break off a little piece of my life and share it with you. My life story has been full of conflict, frustration, disappointment, utter despair, and confusion. Would you like to hear my story?
Yes.
It all started with a little book that was read to me as a child. Are You My Mother? How many of you have read that book? Do they even have that in South Africa, do they? Who's seen that? Who's had that book read to them as a child? Oh, yes, well, you have my deepest sympathies, because that's where my problem started. Are You My Mother? It's about this little bird who falls out of the nest and doesn't know who his or her mother is. So they go walk about trying to find their mother. So they bump into lots of different animals and inanimate objects, bump into a dog. Are you my mother? And the dog says, no, I'm not your mother. So the little bird goes and meets a canary or something. Are you my mother? No, I'm way too small to be your mother. Bumps into, some inanimate object. Are you my mother? No answer. And eventually the little bird talks to this great big crane, you know. Are you my mother? No. And the crane picks up the bird and drops it in the nest. And finally, little bird meets its mother. Okay. The little fledgling had an identity crisis. He or she didn't know who they were. And I was like that. In fact, I've been like that for most of my life. In fact, I'm still trying to figure out who I am. I've wandered around in the wilderness for years trying to figure out who I am. And it's caused me a lot of anguish, and I've done stuff, and the good news is God is writing the story of your life. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. In other words, Alpha and Omega, well, those are the first and last letters of the alphabet. He could have said, I am the A and I am the Z of your life. And he's putting together letters and he's putting together words and he's putting together paragraphs and he's writing whole chapters of your life, and it's going to be a beautiful story. He says, I'm the beginning and I'm the end, and I'm writing the story of your life. I watched a video by Bob Sorger last night. It's called Between the Lines. And I think that's a very encouraging book. And I might send everybody the video. But he talked about how Abraham, in the Hebrews, it talks about Abraham wavered not at the promises of God, but was strengthened in faith. Abraham wavered not at the promises of God, but was strengthened in faith. And I've often looked at that, and you probably have too, and thought, what? Abraham wavered not at the promises of God? Remember, there was a yo-yo guy, and it's like, okay, God, this plan isn't working, so Hagar, come here, let's make a baby, and this will be the answer to our problem. And then Ishmael was born, and of course that was a complete disaster. Abraham wavered not. And what Bob Sorger pointed out, I thought was so good, was that God doesn't look at our day-to-day inconsistencies, our failures, falling down, messing up, getting up again, and then this roller coaster life we sometimes experience. God looks at the overall trajectory of our life. And, you know, as long as we're headed in the right direction, God sees our faith. And the question I have for you is, despite all the ups and downs, is are you headed in the right direction? Are you in a better place now than you were this time 10 years ago?
Yes.
Are you in a better place now than you were 5 years ago? Are you in a better place now than you were a year ago? See, the point is the trajectory headed in the right direction? God looks at your faith and he says, that's terrific. I'm the author of that and I'm going to finish it. I'm writing your story. And although there are daily ups and downs that we all go through, God says, I'm going to see to it that at the end, you're going to come out shouting victory. Hallelujah. I got there. And I finally figured out who I am. You might be lots of different things. And God wants to talk to you. I really enjoyed Bob Sorge's story. You know, he lost his voice. He had an accident, had an operation, and lost his ability to speak. And so when he preaches, it's kind of like this, and you've got to listen real hard because it's hardly can hear what he's saying. You know, complete opposite to me. I tend to shout quite a lot sometimes. I got a bit more. He probably needs to borrow a bit of what I've got. But he's really struggled in life, and I just enjoyed his testimony. And he was talking about how God is working through that situation and encouraging him. But I thought, you know, I was told once that a preacher should never tell people their failings or their faults, because people need to be able to see, you know, they need to be inspired, they need to have the standard and see someone who's living, walking, talking the faith, got the victory, you know, and you don't ever want to let people see that you're a human being, because, well, you know, we're just supposed to be superstars. Fooey to all that. I mean, I don't need to tell you every problem I've got, but I think it really helps if you know that we're all walking the same walk and that we're all facing struggles, because then I think that actually gives you hope. I've been to some conferences and they're preaching, you know, talking about all the stuff they're doing for God, and I get quite depressed, and then someone gets up and says their life's a complete mess, and I feel really encouraged. And so, but the problem is that we compare ourselves with other people, and we shouldn't be doing that. The Bible says they that compare themselves amongst themselves are unwise, and that each one should compare himself with himself only. And then he will have cause for rejoicing. What's that all about? Are you doing better now than you were 6 months ago? That's the point. Are you overcoming areas of your life that need to be overcome? Are you fighting the good fight? Is your trajectory doing that? And if you're rejoicing that you're making progress, then that's great. But look, you'll never be anybody else, so stop trying. Be yourself. You'll be a very poor second to somebody else, but you will be an amazing you. No one will talk like you, think like you, speak like you, come up with a game plan like you. No one will do ministry stuff, love kids, relate to people like you, because you're just so different from anybody else. That's what gives you your value, your uniqueness. As soon as you try and be like somebody else, right there you start to lose value in the sight of the world, because then there's two of you. Stop trying to be somebody else. Everybody else is already taken. Just be yourself and you'll be amazing. You have incredible value just being yourself. God made sure of that. When he made you, he broke the mold and threw it away and said, I'll only have one of you. So find out who you are. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. Life is a beautiful mystery. We're not supposed to know everything. We're not supposed to do everything perfectly. We're perfectly imperfect. I like that. We're perfectly imperfect. So I'm still trying to figure out who I am. I hope I get it sorted out before I die, or they might let the wrong person in heaven. I want to talk to you 7 points if I get time, and if not, I'll have to move them on to next week or the week after. How I've learned to hear from God. 7 real simple keys. I've been doing this now, I got saved at 14, so what does that make me? Over 40 years anyway. No, over 40 years I've been.
Over 50 years?
That, yes, your maths is better than mine. 50 years I've been hearing from God. The amazing thing is right from the day I got saved, I was hearing from God, because I was getting thoughts that I never used to think. And I thought, well, gee, maybe that's God talking to me. But anyway, the first way I hear from God is desire. I've always wanted to write and record songs. I can't remember who said it, but God had a dream and wrapped your body around it. And the word says he'll give you the desires of your heart. First he'll put the desire in you, and then he'll give you what you want. People say, well, you know, they get to say, well, you know, maybe I'm supposed to be a missionary to Africa. Why the heck would you want to be a missionary to Africa? Unless you really, really want to be a missionary to Africa, why would you think the will of God was for you to be a missionary to the Congo or something? Now, I had a daughter, Amy. Now, she's been to those places, and I think, what is the matter with that girl? I mean, she could got a beautiful voice. She could be a movie star. She could be anything she wanted. She's just so attractive and good-looking and talented, and she wants to go and sit in the mud with the natives in the Congo. But unless you have a desire to do that, you're not going to last long, because desire feeds your motivation to hang in there. And when the time gets tough, and the time will get tough, your desire is going to keep you there. Some people, you know, we give them jobs to do. We ask them to get involved in some aspect of the church, and it's not long, and they give up. And then we say, oh, where's your commitment? Where's your faithfulness? Well, they don't feel bad about reneging on their commitment, because it was never theirs in the first place. It was yours. You made them feel like that was something that needed to be done. Come on, get involved, do it. Well, they did it reluctantly for a while, but after a while, there's nothing there to sustain them doing it. Now, don't all pull out of doing dishes and stuff, because, you know, sometimes you've got to do the things you don't want to do in order to do the things that you want to do. So there's always stuff that we need to just, you know, pull our weight. But I'm talking, you know, about like callings and lifetime, you know, challenges and your sense of mission. You already know what that is. It's really simple. What do you want to do? Stop right now. Ask yourself. Close your eyes. Ask yourself. What do I want to do if I had all the time in the world, all the money, all the resources, all the help I could get, all the skill, all the training? What would I want to do? It takes 5 seconds to get an answer to that question, because it's talking to you all the time. The first place you should look when you want to know what God's will for your life is right inside here. Because the Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man. And what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man that's in him? You're the only one that can answer that question. Now, your parents might have a pretty good idea because they know you well. But I remember when Mum wanted me to be a doctor and I started doing medicine at Otago. It didn't last long because it wasn't what I really wanted. It was what Mum wanted. And there's nothing wrong with your parents giving you some ideas and, you know, inspiring you to become somebody of value and worth. But at the end of the day, it's got to be what you want. And no man knows the spirit of the man except the spirit of the man that's in him. Only you know what's going on down there. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you want to know what God's purpose is for your life, what God's plan is for your life, the Bible says that your spirit is God's searchlight. Now, you just need to spend a little bit of time sitting by a lake somewhere, quiet, and say, who am I? God, who have you made me to be? Why do beavers build dams? Think about it. It's because it's in their DNA. It's who God made them. Why don't bears build dams? Because it's not who they are. God hasn't. That's not in their DNA. Why do they dig a hole? Why do they dig a snow cave and go to sleep for 6 months? That's amazing. To me, that's absolutely amazing. It's just part of who God made them. Why do some people never want to get out of bed? Not because that's the way God made them. Yeah, the analogy only goes so far, okay? But basically, God's put something in your DNA that makes you different from everybody else. And he says, this is who you are. You're going to love doing that. And some people are going to hate doing it. Can you imagine my wife leading worship on a Sunday morning? That would be like torment for her. Me, I'm like a duck in water. Give me a microphone, give me a keyboard, and let the man sing. Everybody loves to sing, but, you know, not everybody wants to sing up there, right? So, You'll be really good at doing something and you'll be the best at what you do because that's what God has created you to do. And the second one is like it, and it's design. What are you good at? What are your strengths? How has God made you? Because God speaks through design. Those two are very, very similar. I remember, who was that guy in Chariots of Fire? Eric Liddell. He said, you know, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. And I'll never forget, you know, I hadn't played the piano for years. I was just so slack. I got so busy pastoring. And one day I got up to the piano and I just started playing. And it was the weirdest feeling. I just felt like God was smiling at me. It was weird. And I realized, oh gosh, I've let this slip. And to me, it didn't feel like it was something that I should be doing. I kind of felt like, well, God wants you to do something really hard. He wants you to really suffer doing stuff, you know? No, he wants you to have a real good time doing what he wants you to do. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And God takes pleasure seeing you enjoy what he's called you to do. So there's two good keys for you. Desire and design. What are you good at? What do you like doing? And it's really that simple. And number three is quickened scripture. I remember when I did my first album and I booked a recording studio in Anzac Avenue. It was called Progressive Music Studio. I don't think it's there anymore. It's long gone for sure. But I found out about the studio. It was really cheap. It was just a hole in the wall, but it was all I could afford. And I picked up the phone. I mean, I'd never made an album before. I was so scared, and I just hung up before the guy at the other end could answer. And straight away, I heard this voice inside me, and it says, "Go in this, your strength." Because it's a verse, it's about Gideon. He was hiding in the wine press. And God said to him, you know, "Gideon, you mighty man of valor, you know, go in this, your strength." And that was a verse I'd read. I hadn't specially made an effort to memorize it, but it was a verse I read. And that was God's word. Let's remember, if we want God to speak to us, a good place to start is where he's already spoken. Yeah. And some people say, well, God never speaks to me. Well, do you read your Bible? Because God's not going to quicken verses to you that you have not read. He's not going to quicken verses to you that you haven't made an effort to memorize. There's a whole lot of stuff in here that could be really helpful to you. But if you've never read it, you know, the man who will not read is no better off than the person who cannot read. And we need an emphasis on the Word of God again today. I mean, I love the emphasis on the prophetic and the spiritual. And you know, this woman here, she is always reading the Bible. Chances are, if I come upstairs, "What are you doing, honey?" She'll be sitting in the chair reading the Bible. If I go downstairs into her office and say, "How you doing? Time for a coffee?" She'll be reading her Bible, or she'll be online looking up a verse or something. That is her life. You wonder why she has such great messages? Well, I think she has great messages. I tell her, "Honey, you're as good as anything I've heard. It's out there." I was going over my Bible, not my Bible, my notepad. I got these notepads. By the way, you know, honor the preacher. At least bring a book or something. Like, see this man here? That's honor right there. John is assuming I'm going to have something worth saying this morning. So he's brought a pad and a pen, and he's taking notes. It's about a quarter of a page there so far, John. And a little more honor, please. But I make a point of that. I mean, sometimes I go to a place and I think, oh, so-and-so's preaching. Oh, Jesus. Then I remember that God can talk through a donkey. So I get my notepad out and a pen. I say, "God, you can talk through a donkey. God, I know you can speak through this precious whatever." And you know, God honors my faith. He'll go down a bunny trail and he'll just say something stupid, but it's just what I needed to hear. Amazing. Okay, so how did I get onto that? I don't know. Where was I? Quickened scriptures. Help me, darling. Where was I? Oh, yes. So I had a pad, like I got this, it's not on me today because I'm preaching, so I can't take notes of myself preaching. But I have this little pad and I write in it. You know, I've got about 40 volumes of these notebooks going back 40 years or whatever. And I was going through them the other day and, you know, there was Bill Johnson and Chris Vellaton and a couple of other people and then, you know, Pam Watson. And I'm reading through it and I'm thinking, strike, that was good. And I get out my highlighter and I highlight it and then I keep going. Gee, that was good. Honey, this is really good. This is as good as anything else that I've read in my book. And, you know, sometimes Jesus could do no mighty works in their midst because it was his own hometown. And I'd like to hear a few more amens in my wife's preaching. She's not quite like me, so she doesn't really, you know, encourage the amens. But what's that, darling? Oh, they're good, are they? I amen you more than you amen me. Yeah. Okay. So God's voice is in his word. I would encourage you to read the Bible. That's a good place to say amen, people, right there. Number four is the prophetic. Yes, God can speak to you through a visiting speaker or through a brother or sister. And say, brother, I just really feel I got a word for you. And yeah, but you know, I don't put a lot of weight on that. I tend to use that more as a confirmation sort of a thing. I would never, you know, marry somebody. I was a bit late for that. But I would never change my job or go to another country or start another ministry just because somebody said God told me, da 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 da. Yeah, that's dangerous. That right there, you're playing with fire. How to get your life messed up. Tell someone else, you know, have someone else tell you what you should be doing. Prophecy is great because it encourages us, it edifies us, builds us up. But when it becomes directional, always get that checked out by somebody else or by your pastor or a friend who knows you well and weigh it up. But yes, God can speak to you. God often does and really encouraged me through little stuff that some writes something on a piece of paper and gives it to me. And, you know, I really appreciate that. And we should be encouraging one another daily. Number five is dreams. Now, I preached on this a couple of years ago. We had Rob and Lynn Packer come through. Now, Lynn is really anointed on this particular subject matter. And if she ever goes there again, I encourage you to really draw from that ministry gift. We don't just use them to plug a hole because we're going somewhere. We are making an effort to bring you quality ministry. And Rob and Lynn are coming back again shortly while we're away overseas. And I don't know what she's preaching on, but you know, don't, oh, yeah, Robin Lynn. No, come on. You get what you believe for. Pray for the meetings and come believing that God has got something for you. But she preached on dreams, and I thought, I've never had dreams. Look at Job and various other passages. You know, when Jesus was born, God spoke to Joseph in a dream and told him to get out of there and go to Egypt. You know, those things are words from God to protect you, to warn you about something that's going to happen that you need to know about. And if you keep bumping into disasters, maybe you're not leaning into that dream anointing enough. Because I have had, since Lynn prayed for me, I've had about 100, and I don't want to exaggerate here, well over 100. And I write them all down. And by the way, if you get a dream, be a good steward of it. Be faithful with the little things and God will give you more. And it's an inconvenience. It's cold and you've got to get out of bed. You've got to find a pen. I always have a pen and a pad like this. Beside my bed is a pad and a pen because I'm making a statement. God, you will speak to me tonight. In fact, I was desperate one night for a message from God and I said to my wife, and Rob and Lynn happened to be staying with us at the time. I said, I really need to hear a word from God. God, I want a dream. My faith is pulling on it. I need a dream. And I put my pen and my pad and I woke up, and sure enough, I had a dream which spoke specifically to that thing that I needed to hear. And it was just amazing. Anyway, I'm sharing this one with you because it's to do with my calling. I thought I was doing really good because I got 9 albums out. And you know, I think, yeah, that's pretty good. Don't you? Don't you think that's pretty good?
Very good.
Well, I did. God had a different opinion. And he gave me a dream about Nana Mouskouri. Now, I'd never heard of Nana Mouskouri. No idea of who she was. I knew she was some European singer, you know, with glasses and looked a bit gawky. part of her image, the guy who was her promoter said, well, you've got to get rid of that if you're going to go anywhere. And she says, no, I'm not. And it became her trademark, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I had this dream about Nana Mouskouri, and that's all I had. I just saw her singing on stage. I thought, that was really weird. And God is talking to me through this woman. And I went on to Wikipedia on the internet and I looked her up. Do you know, she has the honour, honour's not the word I'm looking for, the distinction. She has the distinction of being the person on planet Earth who has recorded more albums than anybody else. I didn't know that. In 30 languages, and she's recorded 200 albums. And God was sending me a little message. He was saying, Ray, when you get to heaven, I want you to have done a lot more than 9 albums. Let's go for 200 and see how close you can get to that. See how God can talk to you? But he'll use something that you're familiar with, and he'll give you a picture or a little movie in a dream. And if you're faithful with it, be faithful with the little things. I always get up and I write it out, and I'm cold and it's inconvenient, but I'm faithful with it. And then when I'm dressed, have my breakfast, I go downstairs, or at night, I type it up. And I don't know, it's probably 40, 50 pages worth of dreams that God has given me. And so God never talks to me in a dream. Well, have you asked him? If you've gone to sleep at night saying, my loving Heavenly Father, I'd love you to talk to me tonight. I know dreams is one of the main ways you speak to your children. And you know, it is so easy. All you have to do is fall asleep. All you have to do is fall asleep. Can you do that? Is there anybody here who would find that a bit too much of a challenge? I know sometimes we find it difficult to fall asleep, but you know, that's God's done that. Okay, number 6, coincidences lining up with the revealed will of God. I'm talking a lot about my music and stuff because like it's a big part of who I am, but that's just my story. Amps always terrified me, David. These things here, when I was a young musician, they scared the life out of me. I don't know why. I just never understood what they were, what all the holes did, all the buttons, all the amps, and you know, all the auxiliary and the filters and that. And when I was a young musician, I gravitated to the piano. That was easy. You just pushed a key down and it worked. But these guys, you know, they had to do all this tweaking and stuff. And it always scared me. Well, when the time came for me to put my own home recording studio together, I was terrified. I had to figure out what all those pieces of equipment were. We're going back about 10 years now. Most of you were with me when that was going on. But, you know, I had to learn what an interface unit was, audio to digital conversion, hardware, a workstation, what software to use. And I'm just telling you my experience because you will face the same thing. There will be challenges facing you to step out and do what God has called you to do. Courage is fear with legs on. And if it was something that you could do, then it's not God. Because God's going to ask you to do impossible things that you can't do without him, without great courage and pressing into areas that you are not familiar with and that scare the pants off you. So I would go to a music shop and I'd ask really stupid questions like, what do I need to start up a home recording studio. I know I need a microphone. Duh. But, you know, what do I plug it into? So you need an interface. What's an interface? Well, you know, you've got to be able to convert the audio sound to a digital signal, which goes into the computer so the software can read it and record the sound, because you do everything in computers now, you know. So I said, okay. What sort of interfaces do you have? And so they told me, there's a Steinberg, and then you've got Ensemble units, and one of them was worth $4,000 and $4,000. And that's one of the ones, that's what I actually bought in the end. So, you know, and I'd go to product demonstrations, and they were so intimidating. You know, they might as well have been speaking Japanese. I only ever understood 1 out of 10 words. And I just felt like that small. I thought, God, you have called me to record albums and you want me to build my own home recording studio. This is just impossible. And I had this weakness. God understood my weakness. So the next music shop I'd go to, I was praying the whole time, Jesus, help me understand this technology stuff. And I'd go in and I saw the Steinberg unit, the interface unit, and I thought, I'll show this guy that I know my stuff. And I says, I see you've got the Steinberg interface unit over there. I prefer the Ensemble myself. And trying to appear like I was a serious musician and not a would-be if I could be, which is all I was. And, you know, sometimes the salespeople, they make you feel really small. They make you feel really stupid because they are so insecure. They just want to show off what they know by making you just feel stupid. The best salespeople don't try and show off how much they know. They find out what you know, what little you know, and they take you one step further towards what you need to know in order to make an intelligent purchase. So anyway, I went around all the shops, pretty much got it figured out, but I was still too scared to spend any money because we're going to cost about $10,000, and that was a lot of money for me to set up a home recording studio. I says, God, I would love just to meet Steve Garden. He was the guy I did my very first album with in a professional recording studio in Anzac Ave. I thought, I'd love just to bump into him again and ask him some questions about how do I set this up. Okay, a little bit of history here. I have not seen that man in 20 years. 20 years. And that week, I just happened to bump into him in the St. Luke's supermarket. And he found me. He says, Mr. Ray Watson, I presume. I says, you got it. And we had a great conversation. You know, the amazing thing is we didn't talk music at all. We didn't talk gear at all. But you know, that was all I needed. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And God Almighty moved heaven and earth to put two people together who hadn't seen each other in 20 years in the same place at the same time, because one man, desperate in his confusion and insecurity, dared to ask God for confirmation that he was at least heading in the right direction. If you're facing a problem, there's an answer to everything. Find it and fix it. God wants to help you. He wants to speak to you. And sometimes a coincidence like meeting Steve Garden that lines up with the revealed will of God can really speak to you and say, yes, this is what I want you to do. Keep going. You're doing okay. Just put one step in front of the other. Just keep on keeping on. You're going to make it. You'll be all right. God knows what you know and what you don't know. He knows your frailty. He sees your insecurities. And he still believes in you. And he still has a plan for you that you are going to be the person he called and destined you to be. He is writing your story. But he wants you to reach out to him with just a little bit of faith and say, God, you never called me to do this on my own. This is a journey and you're holding my hand and I need to talk to my papa, daddy. And I believe now that you want to communicate to me, with me, about what I'm going through. And I got to finish this meeting. My final point is there will be an internal voice inside you. It could be a quickened scripture or just God saying something to you. Like 10 years ago, God spoke to me. I heard a voice and he said, I want to use you to turn the hearts of my people back to myself. It was a whole sentence. I said, why, God? And he said, because their hearts are everywhere. Wow. And that's been my ministry motto ever since. I want to turn people's hearts back to God. That's all I want to do. When I get to heaven, I want God to say, thank you, you turned all those hearts back to me through your praise and your worship and with your preaching, with your exhortation, because I'm called to do that as well. So there you go. In my 40 years, those are seven things I've learned how to hear from God. Desire. Something as simple as what you want to do. Ask yourself. Two, design. What am I good at? Three, quicken scripture. Read your Bible. Four, prophecy. Five, dreams. Six, coincidences that line up with the revealed will of God. Don't be led by coincidence alone. That's dangerous. But coincidences that line up with the revealed will of God can be very helpful. And secondly, an internal voice. Sometimes God will just speak to you. And next time I'm going to talk a bit more about the thoughts that come to us, because that's one of the main ways I think God actually speaks to us, just in the thoughts that come to us. And I'll talk about that next time. Father, we want to thank you because you have so encouraged us today, I believe. Here's what I want you to do, just in the last 2 minutes of this meeting. I know we've gone a little over time. I want you to say, Father, I want you to speak to me, and I want you to write down what your desires are and what your design is. And I believe God's going to talk to you. Let's do that now. Father, what is my desire and what is my design? 2 minutes. Alrighty. Now, if you didn't get much, that's okay. Gives you a little bit of something to do for homework. And I've been working on this for 60 years and I'm still figuring it out. So if you didn't get much, that's okay. Just begin the journey. But you've got it. It's in you. It's in your DNA. And it'll talk to you. As sure as a beaver makes dams, you're going to end up doing what you want to do. We love you. God bless you.